the totality of your being, you see. And the Holy Spirit dwells with you. And so because of that, there's a responsibility how we treat our body, what attitudes we have, how we deal with one another. It's a complex phenomena being a Christian, you know?
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Forest Court Church. It's Sunday, April 16th, 2023. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Walking in the Light. And our text comes to us from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
I'd like for all of you to be mindful of the following. This Sunday and next Sunday, I'll be in Colossians chapter 3. And I would ask you to read Colossians 3. If this would be a retreat, I would ask you to read it 3-4 times a day. But if you would read Colossians chapter 3, the whole chapter, it would put you in sync with what the Lord wants to do in our hearts and in our lives. So Colossians chapter 3. Today, we're dealing with Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. And this is a passage of Scripture that speaks to you and to me. And it tells us how you and I ought to look like because we're Christians. So if you were to look in the mirror, what would you see? Yeah, I know. Mine has broken several times, cracks. But if you were to look in the mirror, how much of God's working in you is going on? Because none of us are perfect. But we're to strive. We're to move towards that which God calls excellence. And we don't live in the world. We live in God's kingdom. We live in a way in which is different from the rest of the world. And sometimes we forget that. We missteps because we go back to the old way of living. And so Paul writes to the Colossians and speaks volumes as to how a Christian should live. And not just in Colossians, but throughout his epistles, is the application of Christ in your life. It's how people of God live. It's different from the world. So let's go to Colossians, excuse me, chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Just a couple of verses. And it says the following. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Verse 13, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Verse 14, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be what? Thankful. Be thankful. 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And verse 17, which is the last one, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. May God bless the reading of his word. What a mouthful. And I've asked the Lord to help us because the last thing I want to do is preach a message or bring a thought from God's word that will produce in you a spirit of condemnation. I pray the Lord will bring a spirit of conviction. All of us are going to be convicted one way or the other as to the measure of how all of the things that Paul says we ought to clothe ourselves with, we may find wanting. But it's good to hear it. It's good to hear it. Because as Christians, we have changed. We are no longer in this world, but we're in the kingdom of God's world. It's a tremendous specific change of position and kingdom. We belong to the kingdom of God. We're Christians, and we act and live differently. So in this chapter, specifically the passage we read, we have to say goodbye to the old man. It's a real great joke going around about, you know, I got a divorce from my husband because the Bible says to get rid of the old man. And not a joke, but what we're saying is that there's something about attitudes, habits, passions, and practices of the past that need to be replaced. The only way you fill a vacuum is by filling it with something else. If you leave it without any filling, then it gets into trouble. So if we're in Christ, we have become new people, and we have to say goodbye to the old life, and we need to embrace the new life that God gives to us. And this is something that is close to me, and I think it should be close to all of us who serve the Lord. We want to be more and more like Christ. And the only way we can be more like Christ is by living the way he lived. And the way he lived is spelled out in Scripture. And Paul writes to us and says, this is how Christians live. Christians, this is how Christ lives. This is the way to do it. And here in Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17, we're given clear instructions on what the new person in Christ looks like. We have been restored to life. We have been given a new way of living, a new path to engage in. And it's something that we have not done, but God has done for us, because he has changed us. He has come into our life. And the Bible, as you know, is not really a book about people. It's about God dealing with his people, how God deals with you and with me. And so in this text, we find that God is always proactive. God is always saying, there's another step for you to take. There's another possibility for you. And God is always taking the initiative in your life and in my life. He is the one who took initiative in creation. He made us. He always takes the initiative in salvation. He sent Jesus. And now he takes initiative in the way in which we live and we conduct ourselves. Now, this is voluntary. You surrender to God and say, Lord, create in me a new heart. Help me to live the life. Because living that life causes you to be secure, causes you to be, quote, successful, causes you to be an instrument of God. So there are five areas. We're going to touch a couple this Sunday morning that he expects to be seen, to be heard, to be felt, to be practiced by you and by me. And the first thing that I want to mention to you is verse 12, that he has chosen us. Because of that, we enjoy favor with God. Now, Paul begins to tell us that you and I have a unique place in God's thoughts, that God has favor towards you and me. God is the one who has chosen us. He is the one who has elected us in his Son, Jesus Christ. And so we are holy. We're set apart from sin. You know, sin is that stuff that comes around once in a while. Well, for some of us, it comes every 20 minutes, but anyway. But sin is something that prevents you from enjoying what God has for you and for me. But when Christ came to the world, he died on the cross, and he delivered us from the penalty of sin. For all your sins, the soul that sinneth, it shall die, he died in our place. But it's not only the penalty of sin, it is also the power of sin. Because I'm going to tell you, you and I don't really have to sin unless we want to sin. Or we sometimes want to sin. Don't raise your hands. But sometimes you want to sin. Yeah. But it's not the idea. What it means is that you have leverage. You have power by saying, I will not do this because God has helped me or can help me to overcome this test, this temptation. So the power, the penalty and the power of sin, on one of these days we're going to be freed from the presence of sin, where sin will no longer be around us and we will not have that contamination. So the rest of the world is in sin, but you and I have been set apart unto God. We're God's unique creation, you and me. We're his people. And we're chosen to, to show the world how life should be lived. We are different from the rest of the world, or at least we should act differently, live differently, because as we live the Christian life, we show a contrast. And nothing like living today to show a contrast that you are a child of God. It's never been as dark as it's been today. At least I'm persuaded to say that. It's pretty bad. So you ought to be able to shine pretty good, even if you have a dim light. Even if it's just a little kind of a little flicker there, you know. It's still, the darkness is so dense that you will be able to shine where you are. And in Philip's translation of verse 12, it says that you are picked representatives of the new humanity, purified and beloved of God himself. You and I have been picked by God in Christ. You and I have a special standing. God loves you and loves me. So now we're not only holy, not only are we set apart unto God, we are also beloved of God. So he wants the very best for you. God wants the best for you. Can you say, God wants the best for me? Yeah. But you're stubborn, aren't you? Because you think you know better than God in your life. And God says, I know better. I know best. Really? Yeah. I want it my way. Frankie is gone. He did it his way, but you have to do it his way. So God has a plan for you and for me. Now, it's not an imposed plan because God never takes away our will. We have free will. And we can do whatever we want to do. God has never taken that away. I mean, God's love is so great and so wonderful. And in creation, he created us in such a way that we can even turn against the Creator. And that's what Adam and Eve did. So God is not here as a dictator. He's here as your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What's the next one? He what? He leadeth me. But we can say, no, I want it my way. But the scripture tells us that there's a way in which God works in our lives. We can say no, but it doesn't make it right. Just because you can say no doesn't make it right. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 and 8 says, the Lord was devoted to you and chose you, not because you were more numerous than all the people, not because you were wonderful looking, charming, glorious, beautiful people. Because you were the fewest of them all. You were the worst. But because the Lord loves you. Because the Lord loves you. You know, sometimes when you really, really think about it, it's because he loves you. Why? You can't explain love. Why do we love? We don't know why we love. I mean, at least I've been trying to figure it out. Why do we love? Because we just love. So as you go through scriptures, you find us that the Lord says, because I love you, and because I want the best for you, and because you have a choice, I'm showing you how to live life. I've always believed this, and I've never, ever been able to verify it with people, but lately I've been reading some stuff that is helping me, but God doesn't impose his will in our lives. He wants us to seek his will. Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And then when we say, Lord, I want to do your will, then he opens all the doors. But when we don't do his will, we're going against nature. We're going against ourselves. We're going against God. There's a path for you and I to follow. He says that we need to trust God with our path, and he will straighten out our path. You know, the most amazing thing about discovering God in your life is that God is not a dictator. He's a guide. And, you know, you can actually say to God, this is what I want to do in my life. And the Lord will say to you, I'll help you. Sometimes we say, tell me what you want me to do. Tell me what you want me to do. Tell me what you want me to do. Oh, God, what do you want to do? Why don't you tell him what you want to do and ask him to help you? That's a turnaround for some of you, huh? Because some of you have been waiting for God to come down and an angel with a trumpet saying, do this. Ain't going to happen. Listen to me carefully. What do you want to do? And then commit that to God. And he will straighten your path. See, God wants you to have initiative that's submissive to his perfect will. God made you to govern. That's creation in Genesis. When he made Adam and Eve, he created them and told them that they would have dominion over the earth. I was hearing a commentary that they say, the first thing that God wants you to be able to dominate are the fish in the earth. That's why I was after some Chilean bass the other day trying to. What I'm trying to say is that God set you up to do certain things in life, but you get to choose. So if I were to ask you, what would you like to do in life? Well, God needs good people that serve him where they are and not where they want to be. Have you ever tried to impose God on something? As when I was younger, forgive me for using personal examples, but I don't want to use you because I know you well. I could bring you up, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to respect you. So I'm going to disrespect myself. The fact is, I always wanted to be a medical doctor. And God closed all those doors. So I said, Lord, I want to do this. And so I pursued it. I pushed for it. And the Lord just did not allow that to happen. But as I was asking God for guidance in my life and pursuing what I wanted to do, he straightened my path. And I was very happy. You can say, I want to be a good doctor. I want to be an attorney. Ouch. Okay. I want to be this. Ouch. I want to be a good plumber. He will make you the best plumber this world has seen because you're asking him to help you. And he says, I'll help you. See, God's involved in our lives. He gets in there. I mean, when I worked for, it used to be Safeway, I guess today it's Vons, right? Is that correct? I think. I worked in a meat packing warehouse. Oh, I did all kinds of things in trying to go through college. And I remember that I prayed and said, Lord, help me to do this right. It was tough work. But I had the ability, the Lord gave me the ability to pack faster than anybody. I was like Speedy Gonzalez. And the meat would come and I would pack it. And I'd go, look at that guy, look at that guy, look at that guy. And some of the people were upset because I was going faster than what I should have. They'd slow down because everybody else is looking bad. It's your problem, not mine. When you commit your life to God and say, Lord, help me to do this. So you all have something you do between Monday and Friday or Monday and Saturday or Monday and whatever. Whatever job you have, say, Lord Jesus, come help me so I can do a better job. That's the kind of God we serve. He's not manipulative. He wants to give you the desires of whose heart? Your heart. Some of you say, hey, God, what would you want me to do? God says, I want you to be happy. I want you to be successful. I want you to have a life. I want you to do things that nourish you and keep you and whatever the desires of your heart are, he'll work with that. But you have to be willing to see that sometimes God did not mean for you to be a medical doctor. And I was submissive to that. It said, whatever you want, Lord. I did what I really want to do. I wanted to be a medical missionary. Didn't quite make it. But I'm a missionary here because I was not born in this country. So that makes me a missionary. Whatever. But God has ways of God. But you have to be submissive to what he said and not stubborn. I think you remember that I told the story about this couple at Life Bible College when I attended. that they wanted to be missionaries to China. And that's all they wanted to do, and that's all they spoke about. But what happened, it was that China closed its doors and no one could go in there. And so the supervisor came to them and said, you know, a mission said it's all closed. You can't go into China. He says, but there's a Chinese community here in Los Angeles that you can be. No, we want to go to China. And China. Well, the doors were closed. And they grew bitter, upset. They left the ways of the Lord. Only because they wanted their way, they did not commit their way to the Lord. But when you commit your way to the Lord, he'll say, China is wonderful. Hear the Chinese in L.A. that need you desperately. Can I hear an amen or something like that? So I don't want you being stubborn. And what the Lord's going to say to us in this passage is going to show you that as Christians, you act in a certain way. When you come up against something, how do I react to this? Now that I'm a Christian, now that I know the Lord, how do I react to this in my life? Well, he counsels us to put off the old man. We already said that's not your husband. Put on the sinful ways, the way you reacted in the world. And you need to clothe yourself, to cover yourselves differently. In Ephesians 6:14, it speaks about putting on the armor of God. But here, it speaks something differently. It's to put on characteristics that will prepare us not for war like the armor, but for peace. And specifically, Colossians is written, that we dress ourselves, that we behave correctly with other Christians. Who would have thought that you had to get along with other Christians? Look around you. That's why. Yeah. And you and I are to clothe ourselves with garments of the new life in Christ. You and I have to wear garments. The garments that were worn by, my verbs are not good, garments that were worn by Jesus Christ himself. In other words, we need to be like Jesus Christ himself. So the first observation is that God loves you dearly. He wants the best for you. God gives you free will, choice. And God says, listen, I'm working with you. I want to make your life happy. Have you ever thought of that God wants you happy? Because some people think that God does not want you happy. He wants you to be miserable and feel, you know, under great, great guilt all the time. Mea culpa, mea culpa, mea culpa. No. Jesus took those things away from you. He's giving you life and life abundant. But it's life according to him. He dictates what life is because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah. So in verses 12 through 14, we find the following. First of all, because he changes, because he's done a change in our lives, you and I love God's people. I wonder why we have to say that. Well, because he's speaking about the unity of the church. And I talk about the whole church. I'm not talking about this local assembly. I'm just talking about the unity of the church. He's speaking that you and I should live in harmony. That there should be a level of existence that proves that we all love the Lord together. Because get this, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Yeah. If I were to ask you, where does he dwell? In your body. Because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Ooh. Ooh. Cuidado. Your body counts. Your physical body counts. We have a way of thinking sometimes in our traditions that the only thing that matters is the inside, but the outside also matters to God because we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when you treat it with decency, we cannot misuse our temple. We cannot think of our bodies as nothing. It's a wonderful machine. I mean, where would you be if you did not have a body right now? Don't answer that. Like I said, the greatest reunions our church could ever have is in Rose Hills. Your body. Paul says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Lord, I give you my spirit, I give you my soul, I'll buy your body. Well, I'm going to be a doctor's kid. Wherever you go, your body goes with you, and with your body goes your spirit and your soul and everything else that's in there. Right. I don't know. But see, the totality of your being, you see, and the Holy Spirit dwells with you. And so because of that, there's a responsibility how we treat our body, what attitudes we have, how we deal with one another. It's a complex phenomena being a Christian, you know. But it's wonderful because God shows us how to live right. But remember, he made us. He made the machine. He knows how it works. He knows how it works. I'll say it again. He knows how it works. So when, well, I better not go there, because if I go there, I'm going to go on a rabbit trail, and I don't want to talk about sex right now. But sex has a lot to do with our bodies. And that's why you cannot misuse sex or use sex as something. Well, it's not important. It's very important because it's part of your body and it involves all of your human emotions. Like I said, I don't want to go there. That's another message. Stay tuned. Because our text tells us something very important. It tells us, verse 14 says, above everything else, I want you to have love, Paul says. I'll read it to you. Verse 14 says, and over all these virtues, and we'll talk about virtues in a minute, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Love is the key. In all things, the world will know you above everything else that you're my disciples in that you love one another. So let's look at the things that the Lord wants us to do. And I'm not going to finish the message this morning. I'll continue it next Sunday. So that way you get to come with great expectancy after reading Colossians chapter 3, chapter 1, the whole thing, 1 through 17 especially. Here we go. First thing you're going to have is compassion. This is mercy, sympathy. It says, clothe yourself with compassion. You can't be indifferent to one another. We should not be cruel, harsh, or cold to one another. One of the characteristics of being a real Christian is that you have this compassion for people around you, regardless. I would like to say that this is the perfect church because as I look at you, you all look so compassionate listening to me. But I truly want to say to you that you ought to feel towards other people the way God feels towards you. Look, I'll say it later on, but there are some people that are just very difficult. They're not in this church, they're in the other church. Secondly, you're to put on kindness. I try to find out what's a good definition of being kind. It's a sweet disposition. Take out the word sweet, but no, you have to have it. It's the sweetness of disposition, generosity, goodness. It doesn't fail that you and I can engage in a conversation. And instead of addressing the good qualities of the brother or the sister, we gravitate towards the defects of those brothers and sisters. And we say, oh, he's a wonderful person, but we're supposed to be kind. Our words need to be tempered with grace and tenderness. Sometimes we're too abrupt to judge. We need to be soft-hearted, and we need to genuinely care. How in the world am I going to have compassion and put on kindness because you've been born again? Because the Spirit of God dwells in your life. Because He dwells in you. He will give you the capacity to do that. So when you have a moment that you usually did not show compassion, the Spirit of the Lord will check and say, compassion. If I was in the world, I would have just done away with him in 2 seconds. But you're not in the world anymore. You're in God's kingdom. Therefore, it's a completely different set of values, lifestyle that we carry out. Me, I got to be kind to. So, yeah, you need to be kind because it's the way in which God has been kind to you that you are to show kindness to others, even if it hurts you. Well, if I do that, I'd be a hypocrite. Be a hypocrite for a little while. So when the Holy Spirit is living in our lives, we're going to communicate kindness. So when you face the issues at work, because this is applicable specifically for the church, but at work, our everyday affair, we have to show the Lord in front of us, because then we show them that we're living in the kingdom of God and not in the kingdom of this world. Our values are different. It talks about putting on the garment of humility. Humility means that you submit to one another, to putting people, other people, before ourselves. And yes, and not to think highly of yourself that you ought to. It's all over the scriptures. Humility. It's a really, really, really premium commodity that is often not major by many in the church, and we should have humility of heart. It's the only way in which God will honor our lives in ways unimaginable, because the Lord does not exalt the proud. The proud are brought down. But he who humbles himself will be blessed by the Lord. Jesus humbled himself. So there are some things in our lives that we should not be promoting ourselves. We should just ask the Lord to promote us, to move us where we need to go. And he will do it. You know, you in the world today, you know, you're seeking one up to the next guy. And we live in such a crazy society. How many know that this is a crazy society? Oh, I just need to stop watching news. Because the more I watch the news, the more that it becomes crazier. It's crazy. It's crazy society. But people will shoot another person if they feel disrespected. A, B, disrespected. Jesus was crucified and died on the cross. You talk about disrespect. He endured it all. Christians should never be possessed with that attitude of, you better not hurt me. Because you and I are going to be hurt. And when we're hurt, we need to have this humbleness. We need to have this humility in our hearts. You know, it's kind of funny how we understand what sin is. If I were to ask any one of you, you two are brand new right here, right? Good. I'm not going to ask you, because I'm not going to put you on the spot, but I just did. But I'm not going to ask you the question. But if I were to ask you the question, what is sin to you? Usually people will say, well, sin is always defined by the sins of the flesh. You know, you drink, you smoke, you get high, you watch porn, you go to places you should go party all night, get drunk, do drugs. All the things that are in the world. And they're wrong. But I can't expect someone who doesn't know Christ to change. They can't. They could modify themselves a little bit here and there, but only Christ can transform you. Only Christ can fill you with the Spirit so that you will no longer want to have a drug because the Spirit of God has, quote, drugged you. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're overflowing. The joy that the Lord gives you is just unbeatable. But here's the thing. People define that as sin. But there's another type of sin. The sins of the heart. Pride. Arrogance. Anger. Envy. Hatred. Just being mean. Have you ever met a mean person? Oh, you have, huh? Yeah. I hope I'm okay with you. All right, good. With Pat, it's fine. But see, mean-spirited. Esas hermanitas que vienen con cuchillo. As in Spanish. It's not tongues. You speak Spanish? Muy bien. ¿De dónde eres? Cuernavaca. Ah, hermoso lugar. Problemático, pero muy buen lugar. So, you, all of a sudden, you're talking to someone who's supposed to love the Lord, and you say, ¿qué es eso? What's that? It's the knife. Mean-spirited. Happens. But those are people who are driven not by the new life, but by their old life. And you and I can't afford to do that. You and I need to put on new clothes. We need to dress ourselves with a new person. We need to dress ourselves with the Lord. Do it to them before they do it to you. They already done it to Jesus. Sometimes we have people in our church, not this church, the other church, that tolerate pride and arrogance and anger and envy and hatred and mean-spirited. And it's like if those are not really bad. You know, the bad ones are if you smoke. If you drink wine with your meal. You know, in Argentina, that's standard procedure. When Jeff will tell you the story of when he went to Argentina for the first time, he went to the pastor's house and they were having a meal, and the pastor comes and said, can I serve you a glass of wine? What would you like? And he almost fell off the chair. It's cultural. And people in this country, people drink to get drunk. But in other cultures, they drink as part of the normal diet, like coffee or tea. By the way, I don't drink. By choice, for several reasons. The first one is because I don't like it. I've tried it a couple of times. I don't like it. Secondly, my doctor says it's not good for my health. And thirdly, look where I'm going to put third. People are watching me. And did you know that 10% of any congregation are recuperating alcoholics? And if you were to see me take a glass of wine and you have the propensity for, you know, you may say, well, if the pastor can do it, then I can do it. And no, you can't. But there are three reasons. There's a weak brother that can't tolerate that, but it's just not the story. That's message number two that we're going to go in a couple of weeks. But we tolerate those things that are so harmful. We think that we need to self-promote ourselves and listen, again, God loves you and God has a plan for your life and my life. When you say, Lord, I will do whatever you want. Now, Lord, this is what I believe I would like to do in life. Will you help me? And he says, yes, I will. Isn't that great? He's not saying, no, you got to be. No. The desires of your heart, but with a condition that you say, whatever you will be, that's what I want to do. So you say, I say, Lord, I want to go straight. The Lord says, go ahead. And so I'm going to go straight. The Lord says, turn to your, see, this is my, Right. Turn to your right. No, I'm not going to turn. I want my way. I turn to my right, and turn back again. Steps are here.
He will straighten your left, your steps, your way.
He has a way of knowing how you and I live.
That's right.
For instance, our two brothers over here, brother and sister, she's falling asleep on me. They have a call to evangelism. We're still trying to ask God to help us with this. To get God's love and strength upon their lives. But if they're stubborn, they're going to be lost. Sorry for bringing you up, but I'm telling you. But if he says, Lord, let your will be done, he may wind up being the best usher this church has ever seen, and that guy will be replaced. Because it's not what you do, it's how you do it and why you do it. I got to go one more because, but let me just say, God always is more concerned with the conditions of your heart that determines the action and course of your life. I don't know how to say that any other way. God wants you to be happy. He wants you to be successful. He wants you to love God with all your heart and people around you. Well, number four is we must put on the garment of gentleness or meekness. You know what this is? It's the willingness to suffer injury instead of inflicting. In other words, instead of me beating you up, I'm going to let you beat me up. That's kind of strong. But we're in contrast with what the world thinks. The world sees meekness as weakness, and yet Moses was the meekest man in the world. Jesus was also meek. Meekness is strength, because meekness is strength under control. You know when you lose the battle? When you blow up. Have you ever been in an argument? And you blow up, you lost right there. That's where you lose it. Just be quiet. Control yourself. The Spirit of God helps you to control you because you get, you know, I could just. Remember that old classic Jackie Gleason show? To the moon! When you have this anger and you don't exhibit meekness, but you lose it. I'm talking about Christians here, because in the world they lose it all the time. El mundo que nos importa. Están perdidos y se van al infierno. No, nos importa, pero. But in reality, we need to think about how we live, because people in the world need to see this contrast between that and this. Before I go into the next one, which will be the last one, I said that already. But that's fine. It's only. Oh, no, it's too late. I got to quit. I'm going to have to leave it there. But let me just say this much. When you and I begin to live the life that God wants us to live with the calling that we perceive we have, we will make a difference between the world and ourselves. And that's the difference where the Lord is glorified. Because people will see your good works, and they will glorify the Father who is in heaven. It is the way we witness more than any other way in the world. Because I really believe that witnessing is nothing more than applied discipleship. When we are disciples of Christ, we follow Christ in our behavior patterns, at the job, at home, at school, whatever we live, we clothe ourselves with those elements that makes us Christian. And people look at that. Well, look at that. What is different with this person? You put on the clothes of Jesus Christ. You discarded the old man, the old habits of how you used to be. Now you're serving God, and people see it. I honestly believe that there's more done by you being a disciple of Christ and shining as a light than all the crusades that we could put together to reach people. Because we live by example, and people look at us. So anyway, let me just finish by simply saying that the Lord has a wonderful plan because he loves you. He's chosen you. You're holy and wonderful. He said it. God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. God is not imposing upon you a sentence of gloom and doom, but a sentence of life and strength. Therefore, say, Lord, here I am. And let the Lord work with you. How many are ready for that in your life? Yeah. So how many are going to put off the old man? Don't. The old life, the old manner of life. Wives are being relieved right now, saying to their husbands, adios, hasta la vista, baby, you know. The old man must die. Our old customs must die. And we replace them with the Lord's way of doing business in the world. You good, you guys look, all right, you look ready to be dismissed. Amen. Take someone by the hand, will you? Lord Jesus, we pray right now that you would work in our lives and in our hearts. We humbly submit to you, Lord, that none of those graces that we've spoken about can be done except by you. And Lord, you dwell in our hearts. You dwell in our lives. Holy Spirit, your presence is here. And your presence, Lord, is the one that causes us to be different. So, Lord, I pray that this morning all of us will be transformed by a willingness to say, let your will be done, and begin to put on those characteristics that are so much like Jesus. He who says that has Christ in their hearts must walk the way he walked. We submit our lives to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand?
Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you.
If anybody wants to give their heart to the Lord, as we dismiss in prayer, we'll ask you to come to this section of the auditorium where our sisters will pray and others will pray for you. All right, church. And you said it all at the same time because you want to leave. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord. You are dismissed.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our Facebook page or go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.